Topic this week is based on what you called out last week. I wanted a challenge. I'm sitting in some verstunkene hotel. I got nothing to do at night. Sat in the base medrash over there in Bnei Yeshurun. And you guys said two things. You said three things, but I only got to two because this year, you know, isn't as long as it could be. Both of these topics could be their own shiur topics. I can give you a five week discourse on both of them. One was, what about wearing jersey? We see a lot of the, not you guys, chas v'shalom, many of the campers wear jerseys. And we know that the jerseys generally on the back don't have your name on it. They have the name of some not always law-abiding citizen. Some of them are well known for their antics, and it's kind of amazing what we'll wear. Because again, I don't want to go into names in a base medrash. You know who they are, Hamev and Yavin, and and even the ones that are called tzaddikim. So they say, yeah, I mean, all he did was have an affair. I mean, that big deal, or whatever. So he beat up some animals, some dogs. Okay, so what? And we're wearing these. So that's question number one. Is there any sort of thing, especially with guys, is there any sort of thing that dress can be awesome? And the second question is going to be yarmulkes. The reason why I say I don't know what is going on this year, I really don't understand and know. I brought it up many times to the hanhola of the camp. There seems to be something which I'm told my wife yesterday, a lot of camps came, it was intercamps. So she asked each of the heads of other camps. And they said, yes, it is a machla. There's this new machla that kids stop wearing yarmulkes whenever they can. Some of them have come from home, so they don't do it around their parents. But when they're in camp, nobody's stopping them, so on and so forth. I have this pet peeve, even though I don't work here and probably could get arrested for saying this. But when I go up to a kid, I'll say to him, where's your yarmulke? Where's your yarmulke? So we had this a few weeks ago. This was perfect. Not a few weeks ago. Last week. Last week was the only time I ever get to see my wife when I come up. Is when I go to one of the meetings and I just pretend I'm hanging out with her even though she's not talking to me. So we're in one of the meetings and all these guys were coming, go, Terry, can we use your barbecue? Can we use your barbecue? So she's like, I wasn't the only not an administrator. She goes, Daniel, can you take care of it? She calls it actually Rav Daniel. My Hebrew name's Dov, but okay. Anyway, so I went outside and I think I said something very stark. I said, you can't use it, you can't use it, and you can't use it. What are you talking about? What do you mean? Besides, they asked me, who are you? I said, you can't use it. They said, why? I said, because your meat is not kosher. I'm like, what do you mean? My meat's not kosher. I go, you're not wearing a yarmulke. Therefore, I don't trust your meat. And then one kid, obviously went crazy. What are you talking about? From Gourmet Glot. You crazy? I'm going to call my mom right now. I'm like, you don't have a phone. Oh, I don't have a phone. I'm going to sue you. You're going to be sued. I swear to you, man. I'm like, I live in Israel. You can't sue me. Right? We're going back and forth. Fine. So I want to discuss, and I think Hainu Hach, they're going to be both Inyan. The third Inyan, which is obvious as well, is it sits us, but let's not go that far, I see there's a bunch of guys that daven here. You could see if you look in the back, they have their tzitzis tied to their tefillin. They think it's like an Inyan, I put on a talus, I don't wear a talus all day, so they don't wear tzitzis, they just wear it for chakras. Okay, good, fine. So let's start with number one. There's a pasuk in the Torah. It says, Kemaisa Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yoshaftim Ba Lo Tasu. Kemaisa Eretz Kanan. There's an Issa Doraisa to do like they did in Eretz Kanan. Asher Ani Mevi Adchem Shmo Lo Tasu. And now here's the part you know. Ubuchoseim Lo Seleichu. Don't go like their chukim. Don't be like them. We know that Bnei Yisrael got out of Mitzrayim because, not because they were the most holy people in the world. We know they were on the 49th level of Tumah. We mentioned this morning in Lessons from the Lev. Why did they get out of Mitzrayim? Because they were Shalim. The word on Shalim is, they didn't change their names. They had Jewish names. Shemam, Lamed is Lashon, they spoke Hebrew, and Mem is from Malbush. Those are the three things. Rav Asher Weiss has a very interesting piece on this, Sefer Shmos. And he says that this is the first time I was introduced to Rav Asher Weiss, where he writes crazily, Yireh Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva about this, about Jewish names and not Jewish names, and I totally disagree with Rav Moshe. I was like, whoa, stand back. Are you allowed to do that? So the truth is, Rav Moshe writes this in his own tshuvas. Rav Moshe says, Achronim can disagree with Achronim. The Achronim period is hundreds of years. So he says, I'm an Achron, so, was another Achron. So what? They lived 200 years ago. So, okay, so he does this. So he questions whether or not it's it's all three. That if you have one of them, then you don't violate it. Whatever, not for now. So this pasuk is used because same losei lechu is a famous thing. Chukas hagoyim, you can't be like a goyim. We could take an extreme case, right, and say extreme meaning what can't we say? You can't dress. What do you mean? This is everybody here is wearing goyish clothes, right? I don't think anybody here is sitting right now and wearing clothes that was made by a Jewish, you know, a frum company. You know, Yoyuli's Incorporated, you know? You would never wear that, right? You wouldn't do that. There's actually a famous kapata manufacturer called Hartsteins, Hartsteins Tailors. I feel really bad to tell you the story, but only Rav Ben will understand this. I was once in the mikvah on Erev Shabbos, and who walks in? It was Rav Mordechai Goldstein. The great Rav Mordechai Goldstein is one of our great Rabbanim in Ramat Beit Shemesh, head of one of the communities. And I think it's a common minog that when a Rosh Hashiva comes in, so you leave. So as I start leaving, I notice he took off his bekesha and he folded it. And I don't know why, how I noticed this, and it said my name on it. I'm like, yo, you got my bekesha. It said Hartsteins Tailors. I'm like, oh. Anyway, I didn't say anything. I left. And I never went to the mikvah again. No. The Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, if you look at source number one, V'hai Tanya, Sorfin al Malachim, V'lo Medarchi Amori, V'yichukahu. So there used to be a minhag, which may be related to Psukim in Tanakh, but probably not. Not exactly. And it was the following. This makes a lot of sense. A melech would die. They were afraid that people would take all of their fancy clothing, right? The queen, right? The queen. Sorry. Ah, wow. She passed away a few months ago. And so now, would you imagine what happens. I mean, this is in our generation, this can mamish happen, right? Somebody is able to steal one of her, I don't know, whatever, scepters or her crown or right, or a shirt of hers and puts it on eBay, puts it on Facebook Marketplace, whatever. I don't know what you guys, you know, where you sell things, Craigslist, I don't know, whatever. And all of a sudden it goes to a gazillion dollars, right? So they wanted to make sure that it happened. So they took all of the clothing of the king, of the queen, and they burnt it. Nobody could have it, right? This is a little bit similar to Sorfin al-Malachim. Not really, but I used this vort. It didn't go over well when I used it, so it probably won't go over well here. When I worked for the Ministry of Defense, so about a year in, there was a new director of the mission in New York. This new guy is like the most important person in the office. 300 people working there. I get called to the office, which is really bad. You don't want to get called to his office. Nobody ever meets with him. He's like this big. I walk in and he says to me, Daniel, ani shomea she'ata rav po. You're a rabbi. Now, it happened to be, I didn't even have smicha then. I was only then applying to rabbis.com, the 1995 smicha that I got. So fine. So I said, what do you need me for? He says, I just moved into this gorgeous, unfortunately, part of the Israeli taxes. I'm paying for his Park Avenue apartment. He just moved in. He goes, and I'm crazy. I'm Sephardi. I'm crazy about mezuzahs. And the Minister of Defense at the time was Yitzhak Mordechai. Yitzhak Mordechai had this very strange minhag that when he walked into people's homes who were under his command, he would say, I want to see your mezuzahs. Because the Sephardim were crazy about, you know, Baruch Hashem, about our tradition. So he said to me, can you please help me take the day off, get me mezuzahs, and put them up in my house? I said, great, I love it. Shkoyach. So, fine. I found a sefer, got real stark ones, fine. So now it wasn't so pashut. I had to get on a call with Rabbi Sobolowski with pictures, and I had to send him what wasn't fine. So I started doing this, and I noticed as I'm putting up the mezuzahs in his gorgeous Park Avenue apartment, there are these movers moving everything out. Italian movers, I remember very well. And I said, "What? Can I ask you, what's going on over here?" They said, when you become this important position in the government, so you don't have to take anything with you. I'm assuming that's like the prime minister is the same thing. So he says, I don't want this 72-inch TV. I'm going to buy a new one. That's like 4 years old. It's disgusting, you know? Right? And they're throwing out couches and no. Can I ask you a question? What are you doing with this stuff? So the Italian guy goes, hey, forget about it. You know, don't ask me any questions. He says, according to the rules in the Ministry of Defense, everything has to be burnt. Right? They bring it to an incinerator place and they make sure it's burnt so that, God forbid, if inside of the, you know, the couch, they find the nuclear codes. I don't know. You know, that's what they do. It's like, oh, Sorfin al-Malachim. The guy's like, what? The Italian guy's like, what? And then he like winked at me. saying, hey, don't worry about it, it's going to get burnt. No, it's not. He's going to go sell it somewhere, probably. That's Sofrin HaMalachim. So Sofrin HaMalachim wasn't a halacha. So the Gemara asks, how is Sofrin HaMalachim allowed? He says, the ksev uchasem osilechu, the pasuk I just quoted. The kule alma, he says, it's okay. Sreif alav chukui. Why? El chashivu. Very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, it's chashiv. What does that mean, it's chashiv? It's chashiv, and therefore it's mutter. So, what the Gemara is saying, says the Rishonim, is that chashivu is what? Is that it makes sense. This isn't some crazy modna minog that the Goyim invented. We understand the time, and it could be, we'll see in the halacha, that if something makes sense, then the halacha is going to allow it. One Gemara I didn't quote is another question, which is somewhat different. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Adafna and Beis. The Mishnah over there in Nun Beis, speaks about the different types of Mises Beis that we have. So one of them, right, maybe one of the most difficult ones, was, for example, Saif, cutting the head off, beheading. So the Gemara says, Rabbeinu Kosov, Rabbaman Kosov, Saif Be'arais, Solomino Kaiping Arena. Now the Goyim started beheading Nebuchadnezzar. We know that they love beheading, especially the terrorists. They love beheading. So now it should be Usher. He says, how can it be Usher? Kosov Be'arais. He says, once it's written in the Torah, even if the Goyim do something bad, which is interesting because we have this inyan by Matzeva, that Metzeva used to be Mutter, and then they said Metzeva isn't Mutter because the Goyim took it upon themselves. The Gemara says it's not Asar. Comes along the Ron, not on your sheet either. You know what's Asar? Something that is a chok based on Avodah Zarah. Shtvarim shel hevel v'batala kevel l'tzorech Avodah Chachavim. Things that are inner pinnings, whether or not they do it today, I think the best example of this is Halloween. I found this out. I'm shocked. I'm not joking now, students of mine who told me that they've gone trick-or-treating before. Now they're from, now they're fine. Now. I said, what do you mean? You go, first of all, it's such a Jewish thing. You can knock on a door and get something for free, right? So I knock on the door and they say, give me two, you know, like I'm Jewish. They give me out free candy. And then you say, you know, and you have to dress up. Okay, you have to dress up. So you dress up. And then the guy gives you the candy, and he's like, ooh, do you have anything else? I'm Chol Yisrael, you know? Okay, that could be a problem. So I think that's a perfect example of the Isser of Avodah Zarah. Because even though nobody tricks or treats them, understands what Halloween is, it doesn't matter. Originally, it was based on a pagan holiday. Mistama, that would be Asar. We'll ask our question later on about Thanksgiving. So let's look at the Shulchan Aruch in source number two. The Shulchan Aruch quotes Marsh, is actually the Rama, I apologize, the Rama here in source number two in Yeridaya, Simon Kuf Ayin Ches, quotes, what is the definition of Chukas HaGoyim? And he says as follows, V'chol zeh eino asar ela b'dvarim shenogu ba'over d'kachavim l'shum pritzos. Number one, he says, if it's being done mitzad pritzos, this is where we're going to get potentially men and women involved, but certainly women, that a woman could be not sneezily dressed, she not only violates the laws of sneez, she violates the Isra Doraisa of Chukosayim L'Seleichu. Could be guys too. This is what the Jersey thing is going to be interesting, right? I'm talking about Jersey, so we're talking obviously about wearing these, you know, wife beater shirts, right? Or wearing, you know, any sort of tank top. Jerseys are tank tops, basically, right? Maybe you're going to argue to me, Mishum Pri, preachers is not just something for girls. So then he says, Kigon, Chinagu Lovish Babush Adumin. This is very interesting. There's always this question people say, is this true? So he talks about women wearing red clothing. There was a time where there were two colors of clothing, white and black. Baruch Hashem, there are many people sitting here who hold from this Oreo cookie inyan, right? You dress like an Oreo cookie, right? Good. Now, why is Oreo cookies really, I'm wrong. An Oreo cookie, as explained to me by one of my cousins, is that black, you wear a black hat, you have a white shirt, right? That's the cookie. And in the bottom of the cookie, the pants, are also. Fine. Oreo top? Cookie. So, let's leave something out of this, okay? So says the Ramah, when women would wear red clothing, that was so alluring. People never saw colors before. They went crazy. right? That would be us. Or again, thank you. And the Issa Doraisa, curtly, the Issa Doraisa of, the Issa Doraisa of Chukosein Lo Seilecha. Not only that they're violating Sneas, Viter, the Hu Malbush Sarim Kedoyma, or they wear the clothing, it's very interesting, they wear the clothing, it's the Ramah, of noblemen. Who wears clothing of noblemen? Who knows? Come on. Who wears nobleman clothing? Come on. I'll give you a hint. They wear the clothing of previous noblemen from previous generations. Chassidim. Chassidim are wearing clothing that noblemen, the Shtreimel is not written in Oraisa. It's not a Gemara. It's not a Gemara that says Shtreimel min HaTorah Minayin. You know, like, it's not there. Shtreimel was a stark thing that, I don't know, somebody came up with, not Jews, and it became the dress of, you know, the $3,000, $5,000 hat, right? So that's very interesting. Now, it's true, I will admit to you, because intellectual honesty is important, the Minchas Chinuch writes in Mitzvah Reish Nun Aleph, V'nirali Pasha, D'mutu L'Yisrael L'Lech V'malusham, HaKadmonim Asher Akim Ozvu Ata. If they don't wear it anymore, guess what? That becomes our clothing, by the way, like our music. Many Hasidishim, you know, Nigunim, were based on Christian Nigunim, right? There's a terrible story. This is a true story. And there's certain... we haven't got that. I'm not stark with you yet and talking about Debbie Friedman's Abdullah. Yeah. At least that's Jewish. I don't know if this is a true story, but apparently in some yeshiva that I might have attended at one point in my life, it was known that the Rosh Yeshiva didn't like the Americans so much. So I'm a chutzpah kid. I said, "What's the story? Why does he hate us so much?" He says, "Oh, I'll tell you why. He went on a fundraising trip once to America, and he came to the American boys and he said, "Listen, I don't want to get up there at a tish and start singing nigunim that they never heard of before. Do you have a good niggun?" So they said, "Ooh, we have this great niggun. We're going to teach it to you, right? This is not going to make any sense to you, Baruch Hashem. You're pure. You don't know what I'm talking about, unless you have TV land." And they start teaching this gorgeous niggun, 9999999999999, whatever. And he starts learning it. Turns out it was the famous theme song to Gilligan's Island. And he goes to some American starker shul, and he goes, "I have a niggun. I'm going to teach you." And he's so excited, and everybody's happy and singing with it. And he's like, "I made it big time." And unfortunately, one Jew came up to him and said, "Hey, Gilligan, it was really bad." So apparently, that's why I hate the Americans. Okay, it's chukasei. I don't think so, because we made it into Jewish. Maybe you can take what the chinuch says. Okay, yishkayach. Not for now. So says, let's go back to the Ramah. V'hi malvush sharm kedoyma, u'malvushay ha-pritza, shenagu l'minag l'choyk l'tam, dover de'ikim michush darchei amori, v'shiyei shemetz l'avod k'cham yirvaseim. Even if it has a shemetz, a little bit of avoid a zar would be awesome. K'gon, sh'darkon, sh'kol misha roifim mumcha, yeshlo misha miyuchach nirlehem. He quotes a important maharik, Rav Yosef Kalon, the French great Rav, born around 1420, says the following thing. He was asked the following question. This he allows. He's asked the following question. So the question is, in hospitals, back in the 1400s, they had an issue. There would be an emergency, and they didn't know what was going on. They didn't know who to go to. They were all different people. So now they came up with this great idea. The doctors will wear a white cape, and this way, if there's an emergency, they quickly can get, doctor, we need you, right? Today, we wear a white coat. So comes along the Maharik, and the Maharik says, as the Rama quotes, and he says, "L'niyas daiti nira davar pasha delo asr mishum chok. De'echar hu hadavar asher ein tamo nigla b'mishum chok." A chok is, when you're doing something against there's no reason for it. What are you wearing that for? What's going on over here? Kepei Rishrashi, Bekedushin, She'en Lem Tam Ladarchem. Kevin Shu Oysa Dover Mishuna Shebo Lein Lo Tam. But here he writes, it's Mutter. Dover Asha Shayach Lo Nidud Pritzus. So this is exactly kind of the tshuva of, the Ramah. What the Ramah is saying over here. So he says, I don't see any problem with it at all. And therefore, yes, we have something called uniforms. There's no issur in wearing a uniform, unless the uniform is something that preaches us. I'm sorry, I won't say it. Right? You could think there's certain uniforms that people have to wear that's preaches. That's obviously going to be awesome, right? But yeah, you want to be there. Baruch Hashem, there's from firemen, there's from police officers. Of course they can wear. It's to identify them better. That would not be usher. I used to do Biker Cholim in the Holy Name Hospital. And I was wearing a... So nowadays the white coat has gone out. I don't know what they're wearing. So it used to be that every time I would do Biker Cholim, somebody would come, one of the priests that were there, he would see me in the hallway. I don't know, did it like once every few weeks. He would see me in the hallway and he'd say, "Good morning, doctor. How are you?" And it made me feel like $1 million. I love doing Biker Cholim. I'm like, "Doing well, thank you." You know. And then I thought that one time this priest is going to have a heart attack. He's like, "Doctor, doctor." And I'm going to be like, "Yeah, so I'm not really a doctor. I'm just doing Biker Cholim. And you're not Jewish, so no. I don't know. I don't know. That's actually, when I moved to Israel, one of my rabbeim from Yeshivat HaKotel, he teaches in my son's school. So he met me and he goes, "Wow, I haven't seen you in so many years. It's so nice to see you, Dr. Hartstein." And I felt good again. I didn't say anything. Like 3-4 months go by and every time he sees me, he says, "Dr. Hartstein." I'm like, I have to tell him. Like, this is ridiculous. Because again, he's going to have a heart attack and I'm going to be there and I'm not going to treat him. Because I don't know what I'm doing. So I say, "Rabbi, I'm not a doctor." And he looks at me and goes, "Oh my God, you lost your license?" I'm like, "No, there's never a doctor." He goes, "Are you sure?" I'm like, "Yes, I'm sure. There's never a doctor." So it makes sense. And this is the definition of the Rabbah. So now let's go back to what we were discussing. Can we find, this is very interesting, a jersey. I'm going to need your audience participation here. Do you think that a jersey, Be'etzem HaDavar, has a purpose? It's going to be very interesting. Is it even maybe the Ramah's both of his definition? Shtikl of Vayezara, not a Vayezara, but it's what the Goyim wear. It's their uniform. Okay, Shkoyach. So that the, you know, I get it. You have to wear it, right? You'll get you probably can't even play basketball, right? If you don't have that on, they have to identify you. Even like my kids, when my kids play basketball, like give them a technical, like a kid was wearing a jersey, it was somebody else's number, so they got a technical foul, and I don't know. I remember we were screaming at the ref. But what about, so you're going to argue with me, it's being done because it's so hot outside. Jersey actually was the reason why it perked my interest when somebody screamed out the word jersey. Jersey is like the only thing I think like we might have a question about. Why? We'll get to it in a moment. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a Chuvin source number 3 that asks this exact question. What about Goyish dress? As you just said, no offense. Every single person here is wearing Goyish clothes, for better or for worse. It doesn't matter if you're wearing a polo shirt from our friends at, I don't know, sorry, at what's the XXX company that everybody likes here? What's it called? Where is it? What? Okay, I don't know what you're saying. Right? So you're paying $179 on a shirt just because they sell it in the five towns somewhere. I mean, besides being a tipesh, I don't understand. My moms don't understand. I'm sorry. I don't understand. And especially last year when they had the KKKK, right? When we had so the guy got a discount and it was only like $79. $50. I have a rule. Polo shirts, $10. That's it. $10. And sometimes you get lucky. You go. Anybody go to labels or less? Labels or less here you go there. They have like discount, like $5 thing. Oh, I love that. It's like the Jew shop. I love that place. So it has a little rip in it. Okay. No, right. Okay. So we could argue. But that's not what Rav Moshe Feinstein says. Just because you're stupid, right, and you want to spend, right? I saw one of the great division heads here. I see he's got a stark spitz suit. And I open it up and the lining, it's got the pink and all these colors, and then it says his name in it. And then I realize it's a custom suit. And he starts arguing with me. Arguing. He says it's only $600. I'm like, what? He goes, he tied it back and forth. He says, "You buy X amount of suits because you're cheapo, and you go to, you know, Suits R Us, whatever, Krakow, I don't know if you remember, Krakow, 5 suits for $500, whatever, right?" And he says, "Yeah, so every few months you have to get a new suit." "Ah, I'm smart. This suit I've had already for a year. No. I've had this soup for 4 years. I don't know. We could argue about that. But in its inner pinning, we can't say that it's usur, says Rav Moshe Feinstein. Here, obviously, the tshuva is much longer, but just give you a snippet of the tshuva in source number 3. She'af below who, below tam tzarech elechok abal. Shtus. But that's not usur here. There's no shemetz. He says something very cute. He says, it's not like the guy, let's take Hugo Boss, the Nazi. He didn't start making his suits and says, I don't want the Jews to wear these suits. That may be true. But he said, if you can come up with a company that said, I don't want Jews, let's say FUBU. FUBU, what does FUBU stand for? Anybody know? You know the company FUBU? FUBU stands for us, by us. So it was an African-American company who made clothing for... yeah, very good. Jamin Dunn. Good Bikias. Damon John. So it was made for people. Damon John didn't come out and say, whoa, I hope Jews don't buy my stuff. Right? There's a famous fake news that Tommy Hilfiger said, if I knew the Jews and blacks would wear my clothing, I would have never opened my company. And he had to be on Oprah Winfrey, and she validated him, and no, I never said that, I would never say that. There have been, it's true, through the generations, there have been crazy designers who have come out, most of them are Jewish, so they're not going to say, I don't want Jews to wear, our friend, Rabbi Yosef, what's his name, Ralph Lauren, Yosef Lauren, so he's not, right, Rafal Lifshitz, very good, Rafal Lifshitz, thank you. So Rav Moshe says, it's not, how can you say it's usur? It's usur for a person to do that. No. So he says, "Belaz lo shayach isur zeh." It's not something that's a miyuchan. He says, "Even the gra has a general, very, very strict shita. Gra is very strict in chukusim lo silecha. For example, the gra writes in Hilchos Shavuos, you cannot decorate the shul for Shavuos because it became a goyish minhag. He says during their chag, I assume he's talking about Christmas, right? They have this thing called the yashka tree, right? By the way, I always laugh about I've seen this in print one daf." Maseches Christmas, right? Imagine if we had to buy a Christmas tree, right? Christmas tree should go by me dalad amos, Esther amos has to be, it has to be fresh pine. What happens if it's a Christmas tree ayavish, you have all these halachas. The guy, they just buy the tree, they knock it down from some forest and people start running after them. They just, they have a good time, right? And we don't, what about the artificial tree? Oh, that's only the conservative Jews with the artificial tree. It would be a great masechta. So you can't argue. You can't. So the Gra argues is, yeah. Now we originally probably I'm not sure about this. We originally started decorating our shuls l'chavod for the yom of Matan Torah, the prachim, and I understand. But then the Goyim took it, so now we can't do it anymore, right? Very interesting. And that's the Iker discussion over here of what is called chukas hagayim. And this is a hard definition sometimes. Let me give you some examples. Okay? Thanksgiving. Now, if you actually want to research the topic, which I don't recommend, you're going to have to look at, very interesting, what is Thanksgiving? What was it based on? The original declaration of Abraham Lincoln, which had never became a holiday in Abraham Lincoln's time, he said that he wants Christians to celebrate their Lord. And it had interpinnings of Avodah Zarah, right? Then it went through the generations, I forgot who, but Kennedy then instituted, he said nothing about God in it, and he says it's just a good time. And many have said, like Rav Moshe Feinstein in his tshuva, was not big on it, but can't, to have a meal. Rav Soloveitchik famously, Rav Schachter writes, stop shir early, had shir early on Thanksgiving so people can go to their sudas. It's hard to say. How can you assert? It's true. There are many poskim. Rav David Yosef actually writes in his English. His English is very, very good. He has a piskei halacha yomi. He says it's totally usur. Rav Hutner says it's totally usur. It's chok hukas hagayim, and not surprisingly, Mishnah halachas. And those that say, how can you celebrate this day? And then there are others that say, what do you mean? We say every day mizmer lasoda, right? Like Thanksgiving. I'm giving hodah to Rabbanu Shalom. It's a good day. Everybody's off. It's a good day to have a family gathering. I thought it was the greatest because when we got married. There's sometimes shalom bias issues, right? Which holidays do you get? Da, 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 da. So we were going through the holidays, and my wife introduced to me a holiday I never heard of before. She says, what about Thanksgiving? Who gets the Thanksgiving suit? I'm like, the what? She's like, what do you mean? We have this huge suit every year. I'm like, are you Jewish? I'm like, my mom just wanted to get divorced right away. I'm like, what is this, So she said, no. I said, every year we can go to you for Thanksgiving. No problem. Until I realized what the suda was. Oh, Vez Miras. Okay, for another time. Not for Y Torah. I'll tell you, ask me another time, I'll tell you about this wonderful suda. Anyway, but it's perfect. I love Thanksgiving. You can do malacha, Right? So one could argue to be an Eretz Yisrael for the year. I don't know if they do this anymore, but in my year, it was like to find the place that had the Thanksgiving Suda. They used to have this, a place called Norman's. So you would pay money, and you would go, and you would watch the Baruch Hashem. You would stay up till like 2 in the morning to watch the football game. Okay? Right? One could argue that that's a little bit much. But hard to say that it's a violation. Cap and gowns. Rav Moshe actually writes about this. I don't know the underpinnings of the caps and gowns. I apologize. I haven't looked at this. This is a big thing, right? I don't know. What do they do in DRS? That would be my... The DRS have caps and gowns? They have. Right. Ari Libris has, I think, a shear on this as well. What? Have to. Yeah, obviously. Frisch does? So this is again, Rav Moshe says it could be chulasayim. This is what they wear. But again, it has a tam, it has a shem. Again, unless you could say the underpinnings of it are going to be avodah zarah. One of my favorite stories is about chukas hagayim. My son was at the party. Let me think how much. Wow, this is a long time ago. It's got to be almost 20 years ago. We're at a birthday party. The girl's like 4 years old, whatever, something like that. And we go to the party, and my friend, who was a star guy, ended up becoming a Baal Tshuva, because he moved from Teaneck to Pseig, became very firm. He says to me, "Nu, do you notice what's not at this birthday party? Do you notice?" I'm like, "No, clown? I don't know what." Candles, yeah. No, it was bad. He was very stark. No cake. I go, "No cake?" He goes, "Yeah, no cake, because you can't have candles. So you can't have a cake." So it's like his daughter's like... 4-year-old birthday party. She's hysterically crying that she didn't get a cake, right? And so I was laughing at him. I go, "It's funny that you're so mocking on that, but the whole thing is, so they got cupcakes from Costco." I go, "Oh, so Pasachim, that's okay, and Chol Achim, that's okay." And that was a little funny, but okay. So I never heard of that before. I thought that was a little extreme. And you could make this all up, anything you could say. Nowadays, there's a big raid about, what about the siren? Please, I don't want to... I want to be able to eat lunch today. Don't tell me what they do in Mevs. Please, I don't want to hear. I heard one Rebbe got in trouble in another yeshiva, you may have heard of this, where he wrote a whole post about what he told the students, that when the siren goes on, we're going to continue learning, and he got in a lot of trouble because politically you're not supposed to say that, right? Okay, so whatever you do, you do. But for someone to say, it's chukas hagoyim, and therefore I have to show it's chukas hagoyim, so during the siren, even though there's a woman standing outside whose both of their sons died in the war, I'm going to walk up and down the street to show that it's nothing. This is meshugana. You hold that you want to stay in your house, you want to say, whatever, not for now. But to tell me it's chukas hagoyim, it has a tam. This is what the Rama, it has a tam, it has a reyach. It makes sense. Hard for me to understand why that would be usher. What? So what?
I'm saying, what's going
on? Oh, the moment of silence is a big deal. Yeah. Okay. So then it's even more so than Uriah that it would be. They don't like it because the Tzionim invented it. You're saying, okay. Listen, it happens to be in Eretz Yisrael. Wherever you go, there's memorials. So some want to say, oh, that's like a mavtseva. How can you have memorials of goyish a thing? That's really difficult to say. What do you mean? 68 Jews died over here, and they had the tank that they were... They're not going to put the tank on the side of the road. I don't know. To me, I don't understand that. Oh, but then we get to... I don't want to get to this so much, because I want to get to yarmulkes. Shtisel challah. So is that chukosem l'silecha? Is that darchei amori? It's similar. So Rav Schechter was on a few weeks ago, Headlines, one of my podcasts I like to listen to on the way up. He actually apologized, not David Lichtenstein, the other guy did it, Ari Wasserman. So he said it was very one-sided, because everybody that got on said, yeah, there's no, you know, superstition, we don't believe in any of this. So Rav Schechter, I think, was the starkest against everything. It was actually surprising. My wife actually does make shtisel challah. So there's a lot of articles about this. And my friend Ari Enkin has an article about this. There are Hasidic sources for this, right? The Abdur Rav writes about the idea. Poseh Chesedecha Masbil Choratzon. The Rebbeinu Shalom provides Parnasa for us. It's Daf Gadon, the Shabbos after. He gives all these different reasons for it. Rav Schechter said it's Hevel Varik. It has nothing. We shouldn't do it. It's Darchei Amori. And he says, well, what about the red bendel? He says the red bendel actually is a Tosefta. The Tosefta talks about wearing a red bendel. Wearing this red thing against Ayin Hara, he says it's Darchei Amori, it's an Isidoraisa. So that one I can't even dismiss. Now, I'm shocked, but last week, wouldn't you believe it, I saw one of my, I said this in Lessons in Life, I saw one of my workers, I was commenting, I go, oh my God, were you in Israel recently? He's like, why? I noticed he had a red bendel, he was wearing a red bendel with the eye, you know, like, I thought we invented it, the eye in the middle. He says, what are you talking about? I'm Muslim. The red bendel is ours. And then the next waitress is like, what are you talking about? I'm Christian. It's ours. We wear that too. And I'm like, oh, wow. This is Mamish Darkei Mori. So that's Mamish, something you could find. Again, this is a hard one. You know, Rav Shechter was asked about the Lubavitcher Rebbe putting your note in an egeret of his and getting the answer. He thought that it was also Darkei Mori. That's not what we do. We don't believe in that type of superstition. There's articles about Hanukkah gifts, right? This Rav Ari Leibus also has the gifts. I forgot how many. 8 reasons why it's good, it's okay. Like, imagine not being able to give your kids gifts. It's great. You know, we've heard you said chukos agayim kids. Ha ha! You know, the kids get no gifts. I don't know. So, anyway, that's okay. My time is up. My time is up for this. We're going to get to yarmulkes now. What is that?
Move the toilet.
They're watching me on the thing here. Maybe I said something. I want to apologize for anything I might have said. Terry, I'm sorry if that was wrong. I apologize for that. Okay, I don't know what's going on. So, surprisingly, when I researched the topic of yarmulke, this question... Yeah, unplug it.
Yeah.
Unplug it. So... They're both going off, yeah. So now we're getting to the real camp topic, yarmulkes, and I see. So wait, just to end the discussion, I don't know. Maybe somebody could call out here. What do you think about jerseys? I'm not a poisek. I can't asser jerseys, but I hear it being the worst type of dress you could possibly wear. Maybe, yeah.
I mean, like, if it's like some of these guys that are like moms, like criminals, like they kill people, like yeah, that's a question. Like the kids like walking around with like Henry Ruggs jerseys, like that's gotta be an issue.
Okay.
I don't know about like other people, but like definitely that.
So, yeah.
Well, the other ones don't wear any shirts at all. So.
Right. It's better than not. Okay, but we don't hold halacha hostage and say, okay, Rebbe, fine, I'll take my shirt off if you don't let me wear this. I don't care.
Just saying,
yeah.
It's better than
yeah.
I think I'm curious between like a wife beater and a jersey because like. There's like there actually is like a use to wife beater as opposed to
okay.
Like if a jersey the player's name on it, I would think
he's referring to an undershirt. Yes.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying. Of course.
Jersey with the guy's name on it, I don't even care what they did, but like stop.
Right. The question is, you can go a step further than you and just say, okay, but they're not who we are. I told you last week about the Rav in Ida Crown who has baseball signed by Gedolim. So he says that we're running to get autographs from people. It's crazy what's going on. I saw the video of you guys. I don't know who that was. They're running. Oh, he's famous. Can I have an autograph? Okay. Are we running to Gedolim? We shouldn't. Don't ask. Hopefully nobody ran to Rav Chaim Kanievsky and said, can I have your autograph, please? I don't recommend that. But listen, I'll tell you something. When I was at Rav Moshe Sternbruch's drasha, I learned something new. It's really cool. Afterwards, kids came up to him and said, can we have your drasha? Apparently, and the kid was like in seventh heaven. He like just won the lottery. He gave him the drasha that he hand wrote. Right, that's pretty, pretty cool. Those go for a lot of money today. Yeah.
I think the way jerseys are worn today, it's more like it's the same way like a Nike t-shirt with like a sole or something. Like
yeah. Right.
Like
my team. My team's winning. We're winning. Yeah. Well, no, you're not. Yeah, my Rumble ponies.
It's a little different when a kid's walking around with a camp. I would say the same thing on a t-shirt.
I do want to just point out one thing about jerseys. Jerseys very much encourage people not to wear tzitzis because it doesn't look right. That bothers me. That I would just point that out. Yeah.
Wait.
Sorry, he didn't speak. One second. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Right, a name is a name. You're wearing somebody's name in the back. Okay, you could tell me what's the difference of a jersey and a t-shirt that has the guy's picture on it. We had this in yeshiva. They didn't like, you know, they told us you're not allowed to dive in the base medrash if you have a picture of somebody on it. Okay. Okay, yeah. Yeah, last thing.
So, does anyone agree with the Rambam that if it's for priests, then it's problematic? What about things that are ritual?
Yes, a neutral would be okay. If it doesn't have interpendings of Goyish thing, it's not preachers. We could define preachers. I don't agree with this in a moment. I'm just, please take this tongue in cheek. We could say, well, you can't wear shorts. Shorts is women. That's and preachers got them too. We define preachers as women. That we love doing that because we love. But it's true that preachers, I would define preachers as not wearing a shirt. Right? Not wearing a shirt is considered to be preachers. Okay? It's not appropriate. For a man, I'm talking about a man now. Not wearing a shirt. To say shorts, there are tshuvas about shorts. Shorts, you're doing it because you're comfortable. Okay, shorts and davening is a different, that's not for now. Letting the guy daven for the omid last night. Okay, that, whatever. Nobody asked me. But I hear what you're saying.
The preach is problematic.
Yeah.
Things that have a reason are okay. What about the things in the middle? The choice seems like neutral.
Seems like neutral, right? So maybe we can matter it. Something that does not appear to be neutral is the yarmulke. The yarmulke is very interesting because we have to be intellectually honest here. The yarmulke is mistamas mitos chasidus. Two gemaras will quote Gemara Kedushin, Daf Lamed Aleph, source number 4. Isur Rav Huna Berei de Rav Yeshua Lo Haya Hoylech Arba Amos Begili Rosh Amar Shechina Lamala Merosha. Yarmulke, for example, which is obviously a yarmulke is. Stands for Yoramalka, and a kippah just means, you know, kippah tasela, right? It's a covering. I like yarmulke more. Yarmulke is Yoramalka. I have to realize that there's something on top. I understand, maybe this is the drasha we'll give on Sunday night, and Mirtz Hashem, we'll talk about what about people who wear yarmulkes who violated halacha, or went to jail, or went to this, or went to that. Okay, we could discuss that. It's not that. But it's supposed to be Yoramalka. I'm wearing a yarmulke. I'm on a different level. And therefore, that's the way it's supposed to look. That's what a yarmulke is. And the second Gemara, source number 5, Gemara Shabbos Kuf Yud Ches, Amar Rav Huna Berei de Rav Yeshua, Teitilei, I just wrote that, Yovoli Yischar Toiv, Belo Halach Li Arba Omos Begili Rosh. Now this is clear to me, clearly is what? Is clearly a Gemara song about Midas Chasidus, clearly. Right? Because I get a good thing. Now, there's a higher level Midas Chasidus, right? Right, the other Gemara that says, you know, I the walls of my house never saw my hair uncovered. Right, women, you have this, right, kimcha, right? That's beautiful. That's clearly midos chasidus. To what you were zoicha to such good things. That's true, but it's true kimat as Rav Avad Yosef writes in his tshuva. All the halacha tells us, even the Taz who quotes this in a moment, we'll see what he says. He doesn't lie, and he says everybody basically says it's a midos chasidus. In fact, somebody wants a real midos chasidus, as you know. There's a custom to wear your yarmulke at night. The Eliyahu Rabba quotes the Shla and says there are different reasons for this. Also to protect us, people wear tzitzis at night. The Mishnah Berurah does quote this lahalacha. Kafachayim quotes this lahalacha. There is an inyan. So the Taz, in my opinion, dovetails the first part of the shir that we just gave. So if you look at source number 5, look what the Taz says. Obviously, this is only a piece of the Taz. What is the inyan ikur hadavar? Im yesh iser. Liyot begili rosh kasav rashal the marshal b'tshuva de ein iser mitzad adin, and he quotes a myriad of others that say this. Rav Avadya Yosef quotes tons that say this. Because of od b'midas chasidus hu levad de amrinon kol kisvei taiti leid by taiti leid is only the bedavka. He goes mekomakom below tefila yesh li zahir. He says that maybe we know that for brachos and for tefila, right, for people there are svardim Syrians specifically who don't wear yarmulkes, but they know that when it comes to davening, of course they put a yarmulke on. Right, that's why many of the shuls, you know, they have the yarmulke. There's something different. There is something to be said for that. And Israel is a little bit weird, where they, you know, in a shul they will, but it used to be like I don't know if you guys know, the president of Israel just spoke in Congress. So there used to be a minhag, like when the president or somebody spoke, so if he was about to quote a pasuk, so he, all of a sudden he would take out of his pocket this yarmulke, unfold it, and say, Oseh shalom b'romav, hu yaseh, you know, like, that was a thing. Okay, maybe, but certainly for tefillah, maybe at a funeral, I'm not sure if you really have to wear it. A funeral, it's become a custom that you wear. But certainly in shul, the same reason why women who don't cover their hair, yeah, there's more of an inyan. You're coming into mikdash ma'at of covering your hair. There are those, by the way, Rav Avadya Yosef talks about single girls wearing a head covering when they say brachas. Okay, we don't paskin like this, but it's interesting nonetheless. So the Taz continues on the next side, and he says, v'nirali, here's the important part, sheish iser gamar mitam acher. Yes, midos chasidus, shkoyach. Yes, okay, so we're going to be strict when it comes to tefillah, we're going to be strict when it comes to brachos. But listen to me now. Isur gomer mitam acher, dahainu, kevon shechoku, Achshav shall ben agoyim sheoisim came tamid techav sheyoshin parkin me'aleihem hakoyva. There used to be a minhag, as you might have heard, that everybody used to be black hatters. Everybody. In the 60s, everybody wore a black hat. And to show respect, when you walked into a building, you always took your hat off. Right? That's what would happen. You walk into the building. So we accepted upon ourselves, no, we're Jews. We say to the Rabbanu Shalom, no, I want to show the Yoram Malka everywhere. And I keep my hat on, my Jew cap. I keep it on. Says the Taz, therefore it's become a chok. Because if I'm taking my hat off when I go into a building, that's what the Goyim do. Now, is this based on Christian theology? So it may be, because when they would walk into the churches, it was disgusting for you to wear a head covering. Right? It wasn't appropriate. How can you be? You come to God, you have to be humble, kiviyachal, right? Havdil, excuse me. You have to be humble. That's what they said. So therefore, he said, it's chukas agayim. And then, therefore, he writes that, therefore, he would be usher for another reason. And he said, you can go back and forth and talk about midas chasidus, not midas chasidus. Taz lahalacha, it's chukas agayim, you can't do it. Now, Ramosha takes this and dismisses it. Because Rav Moshe says, we'll see it's true in a moment, but Rav Moshe says you can't, this Taz is beautiful and great and gorgeous, except one thing's changed. It's not the way it is in the world anymore. Certainly nowadays, maybe in the 60s, in the 70s, nowadays there's no such thing. Nowadays we wear yam. And Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of positives today. It used to be that you could not, people, lawyers, doctors, they never wore their yarmulkes. Baruch Hashem, it's not so popular anymore. There was a fear factor. It's true, I could tell you, in my father's days, when he was in Shir with Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, he told somebody, actually lives on my parents' block, that when he was a doctor, he said, you shouldn't wear your yarmulke. He says, a tremendous Chil Hashem possibilities. I think things at times have changed. And I think, Baruch Hashem, we have Kiddush Hashem possibilities. It's a very interesting tshuvas, by the way, on the topic of, should I wear my yarmulke if I'm doing something wrong? What do I mean? I'm going on a date to a bar. Shouldn't go to a bar, right? So what should you do, right? Rav Moshe finds it has a tshuva on this. And he talks about, what if you're going to the theater? Not on the 9 days of the 3 weeks. You're going to the movies, right? You're going to a concert that's not mutter. Shouldn't you not wear your yarmulke? So there Rav Moshe writes, you should wear your yarmulke. He says there's a misconception that because it's a Chil Hashem. He says, no, it's going to be more of a Chil Hashem because you're not wearing a yarmulke. People are going to see you. It's very interesting. Okay, nowadays you can just wear a baseball hat. That kind of mitigates the problem. And Rav Moshe's true, which we'll meet in a moment, he talks about what is a yarmulke, how much should it be. Rav Moshe does quote the Chukas Hagayim idea, but Rav Moshe says, very interesting, I would not assume this, that when you're doing something bad, don't wear your yarmulke when you're doing it. I think that that's very true. I once had a weird situation, more than once, but when I went on a business trip to Jordan, for example, my friend of mine told me, he goes to Jordan all the time, he says, do not wear your yarmulke there. Obviously, we realize that if we're doing this for safety, of course you don't wear a yarmulke. If you feel that you're not safe anymore, unfortunately, in America, there are a lot of places, more than ever, that people are really mamish feel unsafe. I know people who told me that when they go to the city, New York City, they took the yarmulke off because they don't want any trouble. It's crazy. Mamish crazy to think that way. Nebuch, nebuch, nebuch. That's the way that it is. But in general, right, a person, as I told you, when I got into my car accident, so I thought about it when I was trying to flag a car down. I said, I want to wear my yarmulke. I happen to wear, my sisters were out. I said, no, I want to. It's a great chance for, you know, and okay, I didn't die. So it worked out. But yeah, there are certain times where a person doesn't wear a yarmulke. I understand. I would assume, I remember once I was in a cab, and it wasn't a cab, it was before Uber, they used to have, I forget what they're called, you would just hail down a thing, especially like Washington Heights or whatever. And we were somewhere in the city, and we were getting a ride back, and we agreed to a price, and when he got to my apartment, he said, I didn't say that, whatever. I didn't say $30, I said $50. I'm like, dude, you're not, and he started going crazy on us. And it was like scary, like really whatever. So we decided, both of us looked at each other, and we said, me and my friend, and we're like, forget it, we're just whatever. So I whispered to him, as you get out of the car, it was very dark, quickly get our yarmulkes off, because I don't want this to be an anti-Semitic incident. We were in the right. We gave him the $30. So as we got out of the car, we did one of these motions, and our yarmulkes came off, and he saw. And all of a sudden, he didn't know what to say, this guy. Like, he was trying to say whatever. So in the beginning, he was not a Muslim guy. So he kept saying, Jesus, 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 right? And we're like, we're just laughing at that. And then when he saw us take his yarmulkes, then he looked at us, oh, Jews, Jews, Jews. Like, it was, I'm like, okay, a good one. I wanted to like tell him, I got better ones for you, but I didn't say that. Dangerous situations, obviously. Rav Avadya here is asked the question about yarmulkes, and Rav Avadya says something very interesting as well. First of all, he quotes the Zohar. It's interesting, he quotes the Zohar in three different places, but in Parshas Balak, he says a person shouldn't lay lech dalad amos begilei rosh mishum shchina shara b'neiyam. Parshas Pinchas, interestingly enough, and in Parshas Naso, he talks about a Talmud Chacham. The Rambam uses the word Talmud Chacham. The Talmud Chacham always had their head covered. It's very interesting. So he says you can't take a raya from that. And he goes on and on, and his tshuvas are always so long. And he goes on, and he says, listen, let's be honest. The Orchas Chaim and the Rivash and the Maharami Rittenberg and all that. She'en yisur midosched. He goes, you're right. I understand that. But we found that one lone, we found the Taz. True. Umetzatigan, he goes, we found in the Mata Ephraim, very important. Shedochas Tvarim Shuzri Ataz. He says, that's not true. Shekasov Mahari Kolon, as I quoted for you, the Maharik, Sheoisin, Sheeno Ella, Mitoikim Acham Kedoima. They're not being Midoima Lahem. He says, that it wasn't a chukah of Goyim. Says, this is not Rav Avadya speaking. This is the great, what do you call it? The Mata Ephraim. He says, it doesn't apply anymore. He says, he's wrong. His history is wrong. This had nothing Goy should do with it. Although we've talked about the Christian ideas. L'chein, gam b'zman hazeh, einu ela mimidus ha-chasidus. Kosev b'shel z'juz not the surik, she'en b'zeh mishum, b'chusem l'si lechu, lo ketah ataz, mikol makam, nireh. Here's a good important part. Here we go, source number 7. The bolded part. She'kniso ha-roish b'zmano, yesh tam yoysim b'midus chasidus, ki yodeh, she'en darchem shel ha-choshim v'ha-porkim oil. How do you define a Jew nowadays? Basically, yarmulke, no yarmulke, right? A person that's not wearing a yarmulke, we call them a poyrik ol. They're making a statement, I am not religious. That's how we're defined. It just happened. You're right. Midas Chassidus quote me all the Gemaras and quote me the Rivashas and quote me all the Rishayim and Midas like Yishkoi, Yishkoi. And the Zohar is not. But nowadays, it literally defines a Jew. Very interesting, Rav Avadya. Very interesting. He says, "Parik olam mitzvahs with the gilei rice." V'yesh heker miyuchad bein oyvin elokim asher shel lo abdu. How do I know who's oyvin Hashem and not yarmulke? Wow. The alak. This is Rav Avadya speaking because the Sfardim, a lot of Sfardim didn't wear yarmulkes. Right. This is a relatively new thing. Obviously, they lived in countries that they probably would have killed them. Right. Very, very interesting. Aliday hakiba shall al roshalov v'adatim dizarim liyachat tomer bekisui rosh v'hakiba shall al roshav l'semel adam dati. It's a Maris Ayin. People are going to say, oh, he's not Jewish anymore. He says, you can't walk without a yarmulke. I love this extra reason. Because I think that's the most... You want to tell me the Taz's reason isn't good enough because historically it's not true. And certainly nowadays, the Rav Moshe says, it's just not accurate, right? We don't wear... People aren't taking their hats off anymore. So you know what the real reason is? It defines you as a Jew. So a kid wants to come over here and he says to me, "What, Rav Hartstein, you're wrong. It's a midas chasidus," right? A little 11-year-old kid. "It's a midas chasidus. I'll show you Gemaras and Zohars and that." So the answer is Rav Avadya says, "Okay, but it's our uniform now. It defines us as a Jew. It's a chiddush nifla, but I think it's there. I don't want to say b'chusayim lo say lechu because maybe it's not b'chusayim lechu. It defines us as a Jew. That's the bottom line. Now, it has to define us as a Jew, right?" So meaning, Rav Moshe asked this question about work. He says, do you wear yarmulkes at work? This, again, the olden days, right? When it really was an issue. So he says, it's a mitzvah chasidus b'chol zois. So to tell him that you have to wear a yarmulke for hefsid merubah, we even let you shave during the 3 weeks. I mean, he didn't say this, but Rav Moshe does allow that. So he says, you don't have to lose money over it. And therefore, he thought that it would be mutter. And he said, as I said to you, even the Taz doesn't apply today because it's not true. It's not happening anymore that people are taking their hats off. There is a famous case, I won't mention the name. I saw the video of this. It's mom's crazy. Maybe we'll talk about this Sunday night. Of a famous person who got in trouble. It's not the first or last person for this to happen to. He was a famous person in government. That's all I'll say. And he insisted during his trial to wear a black hat. He's not even such a black hatter. Shabbos, he wears a black hat. And at some point, the judge stopped and says, I have to say something. It's incredibly disrespectful to the court. So she actually thought that this was... She says, everybody knows that when you go into a courtroom, you take your hat off. She still thought that rule applied, even though Rav Moshe says it doesn't apply. That Taz's rule, chukosei lo seilecho. So he was sharp. He said, excuse me, what about my religious freedoms? And then he started reciting the, you know, U.S. Postal Service against U.S. Army. Like, there's all these things that recently have come up, U.S. court cases, some Supreme Court cases, that you cannot allow somebody for shaving the beard in the Army, right, when you're in the Army, so you have to get a heter. You have to get a special heter that you're religious and you're supposed to go clean shaven in the Army. So, you know, so my son had a beard the entire time. Why? Because it's the greatest thing. You save like 2 minutes. Saving 2 minutes in the morning is a big deal in the Army, right? So they all have beards all the time, right? You get a heter. So she said she thought it was incredibly disrespectful to her. So maybe it does still apply today. I don't know. So he goes like this. No! He says, religious freedom! How dare you! So she was good. She says, religious freedom also allows you to lie, steal and cheat and all this. Okay, fine. Not for now. But Rav Moshe's famous tshuva on this, you can't mamish walk anywhere, no pun intended, without this tshuva on yarmulkes. Rav Moshe quotes the most famous tshuva, which is Rav Shlomo Kluger, the great Gadol, 1785 to 1804, who was the Dayan of Brody, the Magid of Brody was called. Mamish, nothing more important. And he talks about it, and Rav Moshe doesn't understand. He talks about this idea that you have to have, you know, your entire head has to be covered all the time. So Rav Moshe here in our last source, in source number 8, going Rav Shlomo Kluger, I don't understand the Tumei Miod. Ki ain efshel lefarish that Gemara Kedushin Rav Huna Dalad Amos Begilei Rosh Shehu Lo Begilei Rosh Mamish Mechusa Aval Barak Mitzvah Sarosh Sheso Begilei Rosh. So he has that famous thing that you have to be able to see it from all four corners, right? This is a Baruch Hashem. You're not tzoicha to some fights that I've had with some of my children. I'm very into big yarmulkes. I think it's great. So my kid said to me once, he says, he brought a yarmulke. In Israel, they have these things called bottle cap yarmulkes. His little tzionish, you know, bottle. So he's right. First of all, it was pink. So mamish, you could see it from all four sides. He said, he's right. He quoted me Rav Moshe. I said, okay, I didn't know you were an American Jew, but okay. Rav Moshe, he's right. And that's what Rav Moshe says. Only would be us and be pachad mi rov harosh. And that's what he says. Again, midas chasidus, and there's all these other things. Alpi kabbalah, two head coverings, and the hat. And the, okay, I get it. Very, very nice. But lahalacha, let's just review for a moment. Lahalacha, halacha lemaisa. How do we come out? So, chukas agayim. I don't know what to say about the jerseys, but okay. The yarmulkes, taz, maybe it's chukas agayim. I would add on. I've just thought of this. I would add on that maybe Rav Yosef is actually taking the chukas agayim as well and saying, yeah, it's because it's a Jewish way to define ourselves. And anybody that doesn't wear a yarmulke, that's number one. Now, I don't know about this. It happened to be, we're interviewing chefs. So somebody came in, and this is a very hard thing, because one of the things we need is that the chef in this particular location is also the mashgiach. So I asked the person, are you from? They're wearing a baseball hat. So you don't know. So this person was honest and said, can you ask me in a week? I go, what? He goes, well, you know, last Shabbos I was Michal Shabbos. But if I take this job, maybe that's a little hard. What do you say? So I asked, I thought it was very posh. I said, do you wear a yarmulke? Except for the meeting we're having now. He said, no. I said, okay. To me, that was like a number one. Okay, Shomer Shabbos is also. He argued with me. This person. He said, what do you think? Every modern Orthodox Jew doesn't text on Shabbos? So they're not Shomer Shabbos. I'm like, okay, not for now. I got a board on that. Okay, but so bottom line is, that's what our dress is today. The yarmulke is the dress. I mean, I can't imagine ever going, you know, that wouldn't make any sense. So I think that's the Indian over here. I think it's a very interesting camp-related thing. And for all that you can do, the greatest influencers are you guys. So if you could help in this Indian... Right? And I don't know I don't know the actual answer for it, why, but you could help and tell people the importance of yarmulke and all other begadim that define us as Jews.